The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome to the Play Action Podcast. Lance Isowski. I'm Catherine Fitzgerald. It is June, Lance.
Yeah.
And we're talking about injuries.
Yeah, we are.
For the Buffalo Bills, even though they are not playing in pads, but there are lingering injuries from the season, some new injuries. And now that mandatory minicamp is here, we have more of a feel for those.
Yeah, and I think it's not only the specific players, Catherine, but it's also their positions.
Yeah.
You think about, I mean, both the two we're going to talk about are on defense.
Yes.
You got a new scheme, got a new playbook, a lot of new responsibilities. And the one that I think we should start with is Cole Bishop.
Yes.
Now, in his second season in the NFL, he had a breakthrough. He was great for the Bills. He stayed healthy, made a huge impact, but undisclosed injury has kept him out. How did Joe Brady put it? He's been up and down this spring.
Dealing with something.
So he's got something that's nagging. And the way that Joe Brady framed it is that, listen, like, if this were the season, some of the guys that are dealing with injuries would be out there and we wouldn't be talking about this. We're being cautious. It's just that the position Cole Bishop plays, the other new safeties on the roster.
Yes.
It feels like we had this conversation about Cole Bishop a year ago in the spring where he needs time on task to get chemistry with his safety partner. And here we go again a little bit.
Yeah, I think at this point, like you mentioned, he's had that big individual jump. So it's not as much like he needs this for himself, but he needs it for that camaraderie. They brought in new guys. Damar Hamlin is back, but other than that, it's mostly all fresh faces. That there's so much communication that goes on at the safety position. Whoever you're playing alongside, you want to be able to have time to build that rapport, to get a feel for even small things like body language, just build that chemistry.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear from Jim Leonard, their defensive coordinator, about just the amount of responsibility that's put on the safeties.
Yeah.
We knew in Sean McDermott's defense, safeties, there was a lot on their shoulders.
Yes.
How much is it going to compare to Jim Leonard's defense? Because, coverage checks, there's all sorts, the different looks, the sub packages, like safety needs to know where everybody's at on the field. Cole Bishop showed a year ago that he was okay. Like, even he missed some time in the spring, but he managed just fine.
Totally.
It's just getting on the field with those other safeties. It does help them, Catherine. You've got five weeks, right?
Yes.
Until camp, even longer than that. So there's a long runway here for Cole Bishop to get healthy. It's just, it's not something that the Bills like to see at this time of year.
No, and again, Brady phrased it as, getting guys ready for training camp versus getting people ready right now. And I think we had a little more clarity on the next injury. We'll talk about a little more clarity.
Yeah.
We don't get injury reports this time of year. Joe Brady does not love to discuss them. So we are, connecting some dots.
Yeah. Dorian Williams' injury seems to be a little bit more significant because he was using crutches to get around practice on Tuesday. So you don't like to see that, but Joe Brady did say that he's optimistic that Dorian will be ready for the start of training camp. We heard Jim Leonard previously, like, there's going to be a lot on Dorian Williams' shoulders. He is going to be a big part of this new defense. He's going to be one of the starting inside linebackers next to Terrell Bernard. And they just need to get him ready to go because I think that he does fit very well in this defense.
It is interesting that it seems to be a newer injury. He got banged up during the Broncos game, but nothing that I think was going to put him on crutches. So an off-season injury, which just stinks for anyone. But the flip side of both of these injuries is other players getting a chance to run with the ones, figure out a little more, just kind of giving guys opportunities to, get some more reps while Cole and Dorian are getting more of the mental reps.
Yeah, of course. Like, at safety, Geno Stone, one of the veterans they brought in this offseason, he's been on the field more with Cole Bishop out. He's getting used to his new teammates. He's getting used to the new defense. Damar Hamlin, who missed basically all of last season, he's getting more reps on the practice field, which is big. I mean, he's an important depth player. He's going to get a lot of run on special teams whenever he's active. The linebacker one, I think, is really interesting. And one of the players you've written about recently is the one who's getting really a big opportunity to grow through that experience on the practice field.
Yeah, Caleb Ealarms-Orr. We got a great anecdote about him from Joe Brady, actually, about how, they were in the huddle and Brady came to say something and the rookie kind of snapped at him, not realizing it was the head coach. But he's trying to take on that role of linebacker and just like, you know, be so ready to call the defense in this case of practice.
Yeah. And with being an inside linebacker, there's a lot on your shoulders, and you want to be able to prove as a rookie that you can handle that responsibility. Yeah. And, you know, talking to Brandon Bean after the draft, Elarm Zor was, they expect him to be a really important depth player this season. Special teams role, kind of fitting into where Dorian Williams was earlier in his career. Great special teamer, a guy who can step up if you need to play, but there was some development that was needed there, especially stopping the run, some of the nuances of playing linebacker, because he was used differently at TCU. So additional experience is going to help him a lot. And that linebacker room, quiet, like, I think that draft pick was a really important one to get more depth there. So if you do have an offseason injury like this, Catherine, because like even Joe Andreessen was banged up earlier in the spring, that you like the other options that you have there.
Yes, and you just like that they get this opportunity now instead of being thrust into it later.
Catherine, it was funny to hear Joe Brady talk before practice on Tuesday and sensing the eagerness, and he just wants there to be pads on.
Yes.
For his players, there's only so, and he stated this several times, it felt like, during this press conference. I'm not saying that there's nothing to be gained through this time of year, but
playing in pajamas, he called it.
Yeah, playing in pajamas. So there's only so much you can evaluate in terms of roster competition, for one. And two, they just want to get some of their players through this healthy.
Yes.
You know, and Dalton Kincaid was one of the examples that he cited. Like, Dalton's had a great offseason. I just want to get to training camp and see what he does with pads on. Now, some of the competitions on the roster, again, you're not going to be able to tell who's doing better on the offensive line or the defensive line with what's going on in the field. This is more of like a passing clinic for the most part, and they're installing plays. It's a lot of mental reps more than anything, but left guard is the spot that I believe we're going to be talking about throughout training camp. You know, David Edwards was so important to this offensive line. This offensive line is so important to this football team. It's all about protecting Josh Allen. And the two leading candidates are pretty clear right now: Alec Anderson and Austin Corbett.
Yeah, I mean, Alec is someone who they've brought along through this team. He's had different roles over the years and, you know, I think filled in really nicely. And then bringing in Austin this offseason, just a move to shore up that there's competition at that spot, that they're getting the best out of whoever's going to play there. You know, I, to your point, there's only so much we can judge right now. It would be wild for me to be like, oh, I, you know.
People will try, don't worry.
People will try, for sure. But, you know, it's different this time of year, and I think that is a position that is so important for them to figure out, and it's one of the harder ones to figure out right now.
Yeah, it seems like they've been pretty deliberate about how they're splitting those reps. You know, Corbett's getting runs with the starters, Anderson's getting run with the starters, you know, and, you know, with Corbett, he's had injuries in the past, but he's somebody who's played a lot of games in the NFL. He's an 8-year pro. Anderson is a little bit younger, but that is going to be one that'll be very fascinating. The defensive line seems a little bit more solidified. It's more the depth pieces that are going to be, you know, who's behind Deion Walker and Ed Oliver, probably the one that we're going to be talking about the most. And then, you know, if we're looking at outside linebackers, Catherine, another player that I want to see in pads and able to perform in team drills is Michael Hoyt.
Yes, he is coming along well, to the point that Joe Brady said they have to hold him back because he wants to rehab so aggressively. Delightful guy to always check in with. I know, you know, he's been working through this injury, but always, you know, I think he's talked to the media like after every week, just kind of about how he is progressing and hearing from him, but also hearing that coach perspective of, we got to reel him in a little bit, I think speaks to how badly he wants this.
Yeah, he's going to be very important to what they want to do on defense. They're going to move him around a lot, like the Bills did in his very short amount of time playing last season. So they're going to proceed with extreme caution. You know, but with him out, that means TJ Parker is getting more opportunities. You know, and we got a punting competition, Catherine.
Yes, we
one
do.
One that we have not talked about a lot. Tommy Dolman, the 7th-round pick, had some great punts in practice. I'm going to talk about punts in minicamp practice. You know, last year, the punting competition basically got settled in minicamp. We'll see if that's the case this time around with, you know, Tommy Dolman and Mitch Wisnowski.
I want to tease really fast that our coworker Jay Skirsky talked to Tommy for 20 minutes. So look forward to that profile coming out. I think next week it is.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, and that's one that you can evaluate punning in this time of year.
A little more. Yeah.
And the other one that I think it's important to touch on is wide receiver. We know who the top two guys are. We know it's DJ Moore. We know it's Khalil Shakir. But how does the rest of the depth chart sort itself out? Because Joshua Palmer's now back in team drills, yes, and he's good to go after dealing with that ankle and leg injury. He didn't want to go into specifics, but it's something that he called the most difficult thing he's ever dealt with in his football career.
Yeah, not to diminish it at all. It more just felt like it was everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was one of his new teammates is the one who who injured him on a hip drop tackle, which is another interesting layer to it. But so he was in practice. So how does, because this team's going to run a lot of 13 personnel with three tight ends on the field. But yes, like, they wanted to do it more last year, but Dalton Kincaid's injuries kind of clouded it and kind of made them peel off. They like to run stuff with fullbacks. We're going to get to the fullback competition next, which is another interesting one. We'll see if there's any more candidates entered into the fray before training camp. You got Skylar Bell, the rookie receiver. It just, we know who the top two are, but when they're in three receiver sets, we might even see this team run more four receiver sets this year with Pete Carmichael as, you know, the Joe Brady's right-hand man, so to speak. You know, how does it sort out? Or is Keon Coleman's usage going to be? And I just think that once the pads are on and defensive backs are able to play a little bit more physical, you really get to see who kind of stands out in those settings.
You teased the fullback competition. I think it's fullback versus roster spot.
It really is. Yeah. And I think they're going to keep one on the 53-man roster, but that doesn't mean that that person is going to be active every week.
Yes.
And that's the difficult part, because Reggie Gilliam was so invaluable with what he could do on special teams as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So whoever wins that fullback job is going to have to carve out not only just a role to be able to be, you're going to have to be really good at it.
Yeah. Because
there's a lot of guys on this roster who are going to be on the active that are going to be good special teams players. Some of those are rookies, like Elam Zora we touched on. Jalen Kilgore is another guy who they're hoping really carves out a role on the special teams unit. So how, not only can you play on special teams, how many of those units can you play on? And Jackson Aker, the undrafted rookie out of Wisconsin, missed basically all of OTAs with an injury. He was back on the field for mandatory mini camp, so he's going to have to kind of catch up on and get some time on task, because you're running out of time. That is a spot that Joe Brady wants a fullback, but he's not going to force it.
Yeah, I think he was pretty interesting talking about it, where he openly said, I'm trying to paraphrase, I'm not going to get it exact, but he was saying they're not married to it if it doesn't make sense for the team.
We know who the top three boundary cornerbacks are on this team. It's Christian Benford, Maxwell Harrison, and Davison Igbinosin. That's the order. I don't think that's going to change unless there's an injury. But who are the other boundary cornerbacks on this team is another one we're going to have to talk about. Do they, you know, I know a lot of fans want them to bring back Trey White. Trey White played really well last year. I don't know how he fits in this defense. That's a question that only the Bills can answer. But do they feel strong enough with the other guys who are competing for spots to just keep to move forward with that? Because D. Alford, they're going to play a lot of nickel. He's going to be in the slot. But who else are you going to count on? We saw this team ran out of boundary corners last year, and that's something that Brandon Bean wants to avoid going forward.
Lance, let's look at the NFL a little big picture and then tie it back to the Bills, because, of course, the Myles Garrett trade, that has some Buffalo fans just demoralized.
Uneasy. I get it. You wish that you had that player.
Yeah.
The Rams were in a very unique position where they had a very good young pass rusher that they could trade.
Yes.
And the Browns were going to move Myles Garrett without Jared Verse involved. But it just goes back to the big picture. Did the Bills do enough to address their pass rush? Which is a question I feel that has been asked every offseason for however many years at this point. And they tried to get Max Crosby when that didn't pan out. They signed Bradley Chubb. So they're going to go into training camp this season with their top three pass rushers as Greg Rousseau, Bradley Chubb, and their top draft pick, TJ Parker. So Michael Hoyt into the mix. They think Javon Solomon's going to be a much better fit for a 3-4 and playing outside linebacker. It is going to be a position group to watch, Catherine, because they need a breakout season from Greg Rousseau, it feels like.
It does, and I think that could kind of satiate some people who are still wondering, like, what is Brandon Bean doing, when in reality, the Myles Garrett trade was not going to happen with Buffalo.
I don't think it was going to happen with a lot of teams.
No,
I mean, Jared Verse, in my opinion, is a top 10 edge rusher in the NFL. You look at his pressure rate, it was a very – it sounded like, just based on the reporting, the Rams didn't want to do it. They didn't want to trade Jared Verse. They wanted to have Jared Verse with Miles Garrett.
Okay, we'll take Miles Garrett.
They wanted to keep Jared Verse, yes. But it was, do we get the more certainty now and just take a swing? Or, yeah. So, yeah, they weren't going to be able to pull that off. I don't think many teams would, but this all goes back to the defensive coordinator. They hired Jim Leonard to get more out of all their players. You've heard a lot of words spoken by some of these guys, the returning players, about how it's a breath of fresh air, this defense. You know, Deion Walker said that as defensive linemen, they have a lot more freedom now to just read and react. You're not thinking as much. You're playing where your strength is, and you're able to just go after the ball. So how does that really help those outside linebackers? Because it really seemed like, you know, talking to, you know, Greg Rousseau and others, that a lot of times there, especially in the second half of last year, there was such a focus on stopping the run, such a focus that especially Greg Rousseau, he wasn't always being put in a spot where you can get to the quarterback. And when you're giving up 6 yards a carry in a game, good luck getting to the quarterback. So it all goes back to, can you stop the run? And with the new defensive coordinator and the changes they made this offseason, the Bills feel a lot better about their chances.
Yeah, and I think it's just the way people keep talking about what this defense is doing for them. I'll jump to Ed Oliver for a second, just because he is a delightful quote. But, you know, unlock is the word we're hearing a lot of, just kind of, you know, unleash the beasts or whatever. And he actually, Ed Oliver was talking to him. I was talking to him yesterday. This during minicamp.
Yes.
And he was saying how he thinks Jim Leonard is a weapon himself. You know, you hear guys talk about that for players, but, you know, you don't always hear that about a coach.
It was also interesting to hear Josh Allen's perspective on what it is like to practice against this defense.
Yeah.
He said there's just a lot of movement before the snap, that you have to be dialed in on your reads. And if you miss a read, you have to be a million times better post-snap and reading what the coverages are, because there's a lot of guys moving around, the looks are changing, and that is exactly what we saw when the Bills played the Denver Broncos in the playoffs, Catherine. Like, that is the sort of defense they want to be. Multiple, they want to throw a lot of different looks at quarterbacks and just make them uncomfortable. They want to be the aggressor. They don't want to sit back and react to what the offense is doing, which is what we saw the Bills do quite a bit of, especially the last couple of years when, you know, they got older in spots and then they got younger in others.
All of this is for the ultimate goal, right?
Yeah.
The preseason game one win.
Well, the Rams are obviously the Super Bowl favorite now, right? I haven't looked at the odds, but we know the Bills have the second best odds.
Second best odds. June 10th.
It's going to change.
Lance, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I think that they are rightfully number two. What other team in the AFC are you going to pick? I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to replicate what they did last year. I think they're going to take a step back.
So I would agree with that.
I'm looking around the AFC, and we'll see about the Chiefs. They're another one that I think are in the same category as the Bills, where they made some pretty smart changes in the offseason to try to sort of bounce back, so to speak. They didn't even make the playoffs, but can they tread water until Patrick Mahomes is healthy? And Denver's going to be right there. You know, Bo Nix has the ankle issue, but they brought in Jaylen Waddle. They're going to be a good team. So those are really, like, that's the group I'm putting up to the top. We'll see about the Chargers. You know, we have to see the Bills play them early in the year, so that'll be a good little test.
I think
that's pretty spot on. The NFC, it just feels like it's Rams and then everybody else.
But it does definitely feel like it's Rams.
Yeah, look, but they didn't add anything at wide receiver. If they have one injury, then they're kind of in trouble there. They tried to get A.J. Brown reportedly, so they wanted to improve their defense. They put a lot into improving their defense. But it's June. Injuries happen.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's in the best shape of their life right now. But once training camp happens, you have injuries, you know. Yeah, some teams take a step back. The Bengals it feels like everybody's sort of sleeper pick right now. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. It's just that I think right now with the Bills offseason, the coaching change, the only part that I guess surprises me that there is, I thought that there'd be more people who are, I guess, skeptical is a way to put it, with a new coach, right?
Yeah.
And so much change and so much uncertainty. But when you have Josh Allen, you have a lot of returning players. They did very well, I think, with navigating their cap situation, adding talent, that, yeah, they deserve to be up there.
Lock it in. June 10th. Bills, hang the banner. They deserve. We will be back in July.
Yeah.
Where we will have more updated looks at everything. Pre-training camp. It all goes so fast, but.
It does.
He's Lance Lysowski. I'm Catherine Fitzgerald. Thanks for listening. And make sure you're reading along at buffalonews.com.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations. Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.